graciously accepting our invitation to learn with us today, to teach us, and to address the topic of the Tokef of Min Hagim. Thank you very much, Rabbi Steinman.
Zechen Nishmas Avi Mori Yaakov Ben Yisrael Pilchas Zechen Nishmas Daniel Shein about Yeshua Falak. Okay, first I'd like to begin thanking Rabbi Dratch for inviting me to share some Divrei Torah in the Yonim of Minag B'Halacha, and it's always a pleasure to see familiar faces, unfamiliar faces, new faces, old faces. Especially in this time of age that we're still sort of not fully back together, so it's a good opportunity to be able to connect with people, and especially on these important topics of Minhagim. And I guess if anyone in the course of the shiur would want to speak up or something, you know, sometimes I can make it more interesting, or so we could be happy be able to deal with people's questions. And it's Minhagim is a fascinating topic, and it's. They say from Rav Tzadok HaKohen that today the Torah Shel Baal Peh was written. So what's oral now? What's part of our oral tradition? So they say from Rav Tzadok HaKohen that the Minhagim are part of our oral tradition today. So a packet was made for everybody. Hopefully you received it and you could look along as we're... It's always good to see the Makoros inside, and be able to share these ideas with everybody. So again, thank you all for coming. In the middle of the day, I don't know, some people might be in the West Coast in the beginning of the day, but wherever you're holding, it's nice to see you all. Okay, so let's begin with a Gemara in Pesachim on Dav Nun Amud Beis, in the first page of the packet. B'nei Baisha Nogu D'lo Hava Azlin Mitzur L'tzidon B'malei Shabbata. So these people, the B'nei Baisha, will have to know who they are, but they had a minhag. They had a minhag, Nogu, that they would not go Mitzur L'tzidon. Look in Rashi. Yom HaShuk Shel Tzidon B'Erev Shabbos. And on Fridays, that was the time that this area of Tzidon had the Yom HaShuk. So it was a very propitious day to go ahead and buy things, do commerce, be able to, you know, go to Tzidon. The only thing is, if you go places on Friday, you know, Friday is like the most hectic day of the week. Friday is the most hectic day of the week. So you're going to be a problem with, Chachanah for Shabbos and things like that. So they took upon themselves, the people of Baishan, that they will not go to the Shuk on Friday. V'heim machmir ma'atzmo shalo libatel mitzorche Shabbos, says Rashi. And they were machmir on themselves that we're not going to, even though this might be profitable for us to go to the community, to this place, to buy things, to sell things, whatever it is, not on Friday, even though that was the most profitable day when this was taking place. So the Gemara continues. Also, Benayu, so their sons came, Kamedra of Yochanan, who was the next generation, comes to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Amarlo, they said to him, Havasin Efshaluhu. He says, our forefathers, you know, they were able to forego this opportunity to go to the Shuk on Friday. They were wealthy, so they could say we're not going on Friday. But us, you know, we're not so wealthy. Hanan lo evshalon. So question is, could we therefore not have to follow our father's minhag and go to the shuk on Friday because we need the parnasa? So what was his response? So Amar lehu kvar kiblu avosechem alehem shenema shma bni musar avicha valtitosh torah simecha. He said, no, it's already accepted this minhag, and you have to follow this minhag. And therefore, you can't claim that you're going to be not following that minhag of the Bnei Baishan. So this is one of the first makoros in Shas. I mean, Psachim is Mokom Shenogu, so you have a whole perek, but of this idea that you have to go ahead and follow the minhag. That generation kept the minhag; they won't go on Fridays. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "You as well should not go on Fridays as well." And that was what the Gemara says here on Psachim Nun Amid Beis. That even though the forefathers were wealthy people, and maybe they were able to keep that chumrah. They were able to keep this chumrah of not going to the shuk. On Friday it was further away, but we are not wealthy people still. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to keep the minhag. You have to keep that minhag not to go to the shuk. From the people, from the Bnei Baishan, how to keep that minhag. That was Rabbi Yochanan. That's one Gemara. Let's take a look at another Gemara. On page 2, in Chulin, Kuf Hei Amud Beis. So, Kuf Hei Amud Beis is Parakol HaBosar. And, of course, it's the sugya of waiting between meat and milk. So, Amar Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva says, "Ana laha milsa chala barchama lagabe abba." Says compared to my father, I'm a gornished. I'm the vinegar, the son of wine. Meaning my father, he was the real deal. He was the wine. I'm not just like vinegar. I'm not as scrupulous as my father. Dila abba ki ava ochel bisra idna. My father, if he would eat meat today. Lo hava ochel gvina ad lemocher. In other words, if my father would eat meat today for lunch, he won't eat milchiks till like 24 hours later. Right? Ilo ana, but me, says Marukva, ana baha sudasa hu de lo achilna, lo sudasa achrisa achilna. But he says, but me, I'm not like my father. My father, he won't eat in the same meal milchiks and fleishiks, even though the fleishiks were before the milchiks, right? But the next meal, you know, the next meal he would eat. So from breakfast to lunch, from lunch to, you know, and then this, you know, is the whole idea of what we keep, the 6 hours, the 3 hours, whatever you keep, what you keep is because that was the zman for the next meal. So here, the Gemara gives a situation where somebody, obviously the father was keeping a stringency of 24 hours or something of that amount, and then the son was saying, I don't keep that. I don't follow my father's stringency. So the question that's raised in the poskim is how do we put together these two gemaras? One gemara in Psachim talks about people going to Rabbi Yochanan and saying, you know, we don't want to keep the previous generation's minhag because maybe they were able to keep it because they didn't have to go to the shuk on Friday because they were wealthy and we're not so wealthy. And Rabbi Yochanan insisted, no, Shma b'ni b'usar ravicha, al titosh Torah simecha, you have to keep it. And this Gemara, clearly, the father was doing a stringency, and the son was not keeping that stringency of the father. And how do these two Gemaras drive together? So, the Pri Chadash is one of the Gedolei Achronim. It's interesting that the Pri Chadash on Or HaChaim, is very hard to get your hands on. The Pri Chadash of Or HaChaim. Apparently, I don't know if it was really reprinted. Like in Yerideya, they have a sefer called Peros Genosar. That's the Pri Chadash on Yerideya that was reprinted. And Or HaChaim, it wasn't. In fact, I think I heard from my friend Rabbi Mordechai Cohen that from, and I always keep this in mind, from Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, that Rav Lichtenstein said he never saw a krum svara in the Pri Chadash. That Pri Chadash says something, he had tremendous yiras hakavod for what the Pri Chadash. In fact, there was somebody once quoted, one of the Achronim, one of the Gedolei Achronim, quoted from the Pri Chadash, and Rav Lichtenstein saw it and he didn't like it, the svara. And then he looked it up and he saw that the Pri Chadash didn't really say that. That was this Achron's extension of what the Pri Chadash said. So then he felt good that he maintained the credibility of the Pri Chadash not saying any krum svara that he didn't like. So whenever I read the Pri Chadash, I always keep that in mind, what Rav Lichtenstein said about the godless of the Pri Chadash. So what I did over here is I Xeroxed the Friedman edition, the new Shulchan Aruch now with the Friedman edition, and I recommend everyone, if you don't, I happen to live across the street from the Gottesman Library. I don't think all of you live across the street from the Gottesman Library, so not all of you have the access to. But one of the things that is, the beautiful farm, it was a big nisayon for me that for 7 months the Gottesman Library was closed because of COVID. So that wasn't an easy thing. So my illustrious Talmud, Rav Avram Levitt, we were able to get him Otzar Chochma, and he was able to send me whatever I needed. But there's nothing like just going into the Gottesman Library and seeing this. So in the new edition of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Friedman edition, so they have published the Pri Chadash in it, and the Pri Chadash quotes, and here it's in the end of Hilchas Pesach, when it has the Ledinim of Sfiras HaOmer, and the question of the different Menhagim of for Sfira. So the Pri Chadash has a whole kontras about Menhagim and their idea, and he discusses this, and he quotes it from, basically this piece is quoted from the Sefer Masa Melech on page 5, from Rabbi Yosef Ibn Ezra, Dine Misim Umenhagim. And I mean, if you want, we could see it in the Masa Melech, because the Pri Chadash is basically quoting this the Sefer. So if you take a look, so we can see it from the original. I always believe seeing things in the original source, the Masa Melech. So let's I have the original source here. So let's take a look on page 6 and 7 about how he deals with these two Gemaras. Again, the Gemara of Tzur and Sidon, and the Gemara of the waiting between milk and meat. So Hakira Revius, he says in this sefer, he says the fourth topic of discussion is Ruvain Shenog Bedover Isser Mishum Chumra Im Haben Chayev Linhog Oso Isser Kemosha Nohog HaAviv. He says Ruvain did had a certain minhog, a certain chumra. Is the son Chayev to follow the chumra of his father? That was the question. So on one hand, he says, L'chora, hayanira lomar, shechayev. He says, at first glance, you are chayev. You see that from the Gemara in Pesachim, that they didn't go from Tzur mitzidah. L'chora, hayanira lomar, shechayev, mehid amrinim, Pesachim, reish perek bokam shenogu, b'nei baishan, hava nogi, dolo hava azli, mitzor, letzidah, malay shabasa. So, it was said that you have to keep it. Mikan hayanira pasha shaben chayev lekayim minagoviv. Right? So that's, on the other hand, kashali alze. Three lines. Shini biyameinu lore'inu misha oviv no heg chumra achas shabeno yikamen acharav. In other words, we don't always see that the father is always, the son is always following the chumras of his father. So he said, look on page 7. V'od kosher damrina perakol abosar, amar mar ukva, ana laha milsa, chala bar chamra, l'gabe abba. Right? So he wasn't keeping his father's minug. Fourth line, mashum behedid mar ukva, lo haya tofes chumras aviv, binyan achilas gvina achar abosar bosar hashir shetofes aviv. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan said, you have to keep it. So basically, he's saying over the question that we've just articulated, it's his question, and the Pre-Kaddish quotes it. How do you deal with these two Gemaras? So he says the following. The Ma'aseh says the following. V'nira shedover zeh, the paragraph that begins V'nira on page 7, he says it's a chiddush to say that you have to follow your father's minhag. In other words, even though the son is like the foot of his father, he's the extension of his father, which might imply that he has to keep his hanhagos. He says, but who says that a son never took it upon himself? So maybe he doesn't have to. He didn't take a neder. He didn't say he was mekabel. So what's pshat in the Gemara b'nei Baishan? So he says, the answer is, ela behid de b'nei Baishan bedavka. What does that mean? The shiny hasim shekol bnei ha'ir b'cholom kimu aleim sholoylech mitzor letzidah mishum kovet Shabbos. He says there's a difference between the minig of your father and the minig of the community that you're living in. That was a communal minig. It wasn't just your father was mekayim that had that minig. The whole community of Bnei Baishan, Badavka. V'ein lucha bo el chidusho, the shiny hosim shokol bnei ha'ir b'chlolov, kibu aleim shol olein lech mitzor letzidah mishim kovet Shabbos. V'kehagavna nasa al kulom keneder, v'gam chal halamina galabonim haboim achareim. That this, all the people in that community and future had to keep that minag. The stoma de milsa de kibu aleim v'al zaram. This was the minhag hamakom, and therefore is binding for the people and their future descendants. The ki haygavne kosev rivash, the tshuva sheicholim hatzibur lasas takon aleim v'alzaram. He says a tzibur could make it a takana on themselves and then the future generations. When we see people should be giver. Whereas if the whole community took it upon themselves, so then you being part of the community are mechuyev, your children are mechuyev, etc. So he says, the ena bonim chayovim ba'oso geder elik shebnei ha'ir nogu lasos kein. But if it's just something that your father, he has a chumrah. But it's not the communal chumrah. It's his personal chumrah. So then, says the Masal HaMelech, says the Pre-Chadosh, you're not mechuyev. Hilkach, yochid shekibel chumrah olav, lasos Whereas Maruchva says, I'm nothing compared to my father. So, but why didn't you keep it, Maruchva? Your father did it. Because the answer is, that was his father's personal hanhaga. But it wasn't a communal minhag. It wasn't something, because the community has and where do we see this from the Rivash and the Ramban explain? You know, that was Matan Torah. Matan Torah was a communal Kabbalah that lasts for the future. It was the Koach HaTzibur. So the Mela, so basically his answer is to the steer in the Gemaras, is the Gemara in Pesachim was a communal thing. And the Gemara, and therefore that's binding. But it's not a minhag mishpacha. It's the minhag, It's the minhag hamakom. Ein ben chayv linog also minhag mishum chiyuv v'dal tita mikol mokom kari be bar ukva anaf shel chala bar chamay lo so garua but also minhag me aviv. V'zer nira li chilek mukhrach me atzmo. So that's what the Masal HaMelech says, and if you look in the Pri Chadash, back to the Pri Chadash, he quotes this, and now take a look on page 4, on the left column, he says, who are the B'nai Baishan? On the left top column, on page 4, he says, the last word on the line is B'nai Baishan. V'ahid B'nai Baishan d'reish perek makam shenogu d'onogu lozulin mitzor l'tzidon v'ayishabatam alem. The Baishan ain't no shame ish el shame makam d'haynu beis sha'an. That wasn't like the name Goldstein. It wasn't the family name or the father's name. That beis sha'an, that was the whole community. It was the beis sha'an community. And the Beis Shan community had this minhag, and therefore, and it was a minhag the whole community had, so that minhag is binding on the future generations. And he quotes the Ramban, Mishpat Acherim here on the top left, Shekeda Dim Chol Kabbalas HaRabim, Shechal Eleim Al Zarim. And he says, Kida Ashkechon Be Kabbalas HaTorah. But a family minhag, it's just your family does it? So if your family does it because that's what the whole community is doing, so then that's Kabbalas HaRabim. But your father, he has a minhag. And this minhag is he does, and you never accepted it upon yourself. So then you're not mechuyev to accept it upon yourself. But the things that the community accepted and you're part of the community, then that you're mechuyev to accept upon you to mekayim, and that's the difference between the two gemaras. That is the explanation of this sefer Masa Melech quoted in the Pri Chadash. However, so if you assume like this, then the concept of a family. This is our family minhag. So that could be a nice thing. And if you want, you could do it. But to say that has the idea of a minhag, that it's binding, that's only a minhag hamakom, says the Pri Chadash. However, there is a sefer on page 8 called the Pri Toar. The Pri Toar is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch on Yoredeya, and it was written by Rabbeinu Chaim ben Attar, the Baal or Achaim HaKadosh. In fact, we had to get this in the Otzer HaChochma because we didn't have it in our library, you see. And Bez Hashem, the library, ordered from Beagle Eisen to get the Kol Kisvei or Achaim HaKadosh that's going to include the Pre-Toar. So when I was making the packet, I wanted you to see the Makoros inside. So we had to get it from the Otzer HaChochma. Usually I like to deal with the Sfarim themselves. We got it from the Otzer HaChochma, and hopefully we'll get the original copy. But the Pri Toar is going to argue with the Pri Chadash. And he's going to claim that no, that just like there's a minhag hamakom, there could be also a minhag hamishpacha. There could also be a minhag hamishpacha. Not like what the Pri Chodesh said. That will behoove somebody from that mishpacha to keep that minhag. So let's see what he says. Page 9. Umasher isi laharav Pri Chodesh. Shatiris lakushazu the bnei baishan haidu bnei bedidas beishan. Yeah, and then he quotes the Rivash, the Ramban, etc. So he disagrees. Look at the next arrow. Ul olam, he says no. You have to keep lo kol ha'ir chayovim lo olam bnei baishan hein bnei mishpachas baishan kepashta. Bnei baishan is the mishpacha of baishan, not the name of the community, the name of the ear. Kepashta v'lo yadar amai dochak atzma or api chodesh lezeh. He doesn't think it's right. He says, so if that be the case, that it's a family mishpacha, so then we understand, so you have to keep your family mishpacha. So the family mishpacha was not to go mitzor letzidon, so you keep it. So what about the Gemara and the Basa B'chalof? How come they didn't keep that? The Hani Mila Damrina Al Titosh Toras Imecha Dafka Beminag the Mucha Milsa the Shavi Alaiha Ovos Baskomo Linog Minag Zetomida Al Dover Zehu Shomar Kosub. In other words, what is the difference when a father has his own minhag and he's interested in to perpetuate this minhag? He wants his son and to keep this minhag. So he wants his son to keep the minhag. Then he should altitosh toras imecha. He should keep it. But in the case of Mar Ukva, he's just commenting, my father has this hanhaga, and he never insisted. He never made it known to me that he's interested in me keeping his minhag. So the inochemami, even though there is a concept of a minhag mishpacha, not just minhag makom, but that's only if the person who had this minhag mishpacha is interested in perpetuating this minhag. Dafke b'minhag demucha milsa deshavi alayu ha'avos baskam linhag minhag zeh tamid. Al dover zeh she'omar kosuv shema b'nei musar avicha. There is shema b'nei musar avicha. You should listen to what your father is telling you. But if he's not telling you, even though this is what he does, so that doesn't mean that there is a requirement for you to go ahead and do so. Now, so this is a fascinating machlokas here. You think of the ramifications of this machlokas, of whether it's a din of din in mishpacha or a din in makom. Rabbi Gedalia Berger once pointed out to me that in Shas, it depends, again, how you learn this Gemara. But the Gemaras that are Mefurish and Shas are all talking about minhag makom. Makom shenogu this, makom shenogu that. So if you interpret this Gemara, this B'nei Baishan, like the Pri Chodesh, so this Gemara is talking about minhag makom as well. If you say, like the Pri Torah, this Gemara would be a unique reference to having a concept of minhag mishpacha. So minhag makom, that clearly, that everyone has to agree to. Because that's makom shenogu, that's the whole perek. But the concept of a minhag mishpacha is not necessarily, it's only if you assume that that's what this Gemara is articulating, that B'nei Baishan wasn't the name of the city, of the shtat, but it was the name of the family. So everyone would agree that there's a concept of minhag makom, but not necessarily minhag avos, and even by minhag avos, it's not automatic. And that's why Marv Ukva said, I did it. You know, my father did this minhag, and he never asked me to do it, and he never insisted, he never, so I don't do it. I'm not on that madrega. So I don't keep what my father did. Now, as the Gemara says, the Rambam, based on the Gemara on page 11, that this idea is obviously when you still living in that makom. But if you leave the makom, the minhag ha'ir, and you're not planning to come back, so then he has to do it. Like the, but if he's not daito lachzor lemkomo, he's leaving the makom. In other words, he's leaving the makom. So then he wouldn't have to go ahead and even keep the minhag ha'makom because he's not in that makom anymore. He left the makom. He's not there anymore. Unless the makom comes with him. Say, for example, you have a European community that like face like Breuers or something like that, that uprooted and replanted themselves in Washington Heights. And you're part of that makom. You're part of that kehila. So then, as we'll see, so then a place doesn't necessarily have to be geographical. You don't have to be living in Germany. But a German community could uproot themselves and now have their presence in New York or wherever. But we're going to see shortly the idea of what does that mean? Does that mean, what about a shul, an individual shul? What is the status of an individual shul? You see, in America, the concept of kehila is greatly weakened. In other words, we have wonderful shuls that we go to, and we daven and wonderful rabbanim and wonderful people, and we have wonderful friends that we make there, and wonderful. But as we'll see, as Rav Gutman pointed out, as some rabbanim have pointed out, that doesn't mean that place has a din of a kehila and a new, and that we'll get to shortly. Well, there is a tshuva of the Marashdam, the Rav Shmuel de Medina, one of the Kadmonim, and he says another thing about Minhagim. And he quotes that same Gemara in Pesachim that we saw before on page 13. About Kahal Echad Shesider Tfilosim Kifi Minag Avosein Hayal Derech Acher. So he says like this. He says like this. He's talking about Nusach HaTfilah. Nusach HaTfilah. So, what's the story? Say your father, your grandfather davened a certain Nusach. So are you mechuyev to daven? You know, many people daven different Nuschos. Are you mechuyev to? So he writes over here, a very important yesod. He says, are you mechuyev to keep this shul? They have this certain nusach, but the nusach was different. He says, "Kol echad shesider tfilosim kifi minig avoseihem." He al derech echad. There was one call. They had their tefila according to a certain minig, certain nusach. L'orach hazman v'tiltol agolios bo b'malchus alazu malchus togarma v'disbalbu aminhagim kiman nebach kol olam l'seider tfilas svarad. Yanki heim rabin b'malchus zev v'tfilosim tzachu musuka, and they now they're doing another minig. Tafsu minhag svard, lo nishar kimak kal kodesh ashkenaz shelo shinu minhagim. Tanim tzu kol hakal shetafsu minhagim oseira tefila. In other words, so they're having a different nusach. So what's the story following? So he says, nira tshuva, nira da'afal kav shiesh in onim shadover hagon, v'nira tov lechos ha'odom b'minhag avosav, karvu shenichnas zeh b'azharas v'chol baltitosh toras imecha. He says, "Mikol makom b'chi aygavna b'inyan zeh tov yofel haniach haminagahu leechos b'seidem minag svar." Why atam? Shani ki alnias daiti lo matzanu v'lo reinu she'ein lishanos minag avoseinu ki medove sheish bo nidnud iser. He says like this, that minhagim, the concept of minhagim that are binding. In other words, like we said, minag makom, right? The pre chadash minag makom. But minhag hamakom to do what? Minhag hamakom is only when we're talking about acting in a certain way because we're choshesh for a certain halachic chumrah. Say, for example, gebrux. Say, for example, kidneys. So these things are meikar din or mutter, right? There are gemaras that say that they're mutter. But there were still chashashos in halacha. Maybe the kidneys has some wheat kernels in them. In other words, so they were afraid of a chashash. Or the people from Tzidon, they were afraid of a halacha chashash. So they took upon themselves a chumrah. It wasn't the Ikar Adin, because the Ikar Adin is Gebrox's mutter. Ikar Adin Kitnius is mutter. But there were chashashos that came up. So certain communities took these chashashos and said, well, we're going to be choshesh, and now we're not going to have Kitnius on Pesach, and we're not going to eat Gebrox on Pesach. Because of a nidnud isser, that maybe if we don't keep this chumrah, we'll be violating an isser. But by the nusach hatfilah, that's nothing to do. You do this nusach, I do this nusach. Unless you say, like some opinions that different opinions have, you know, whose nusach is holier than the other. But pashtus is, even if you want to say that this nusach is holier, this nusach, whatever, that's leave it up to the people who know who's holier than others. But it's not a nidnud iser. You do this way, I do this way. I daven this nusach, you daven this nusach. So fine, but it's not necessarily binding in the concept of a minug, because it's not what? It's not a question of iser v'heter. It's not so. Therefore, those things that are not iser v'heter, you want to do this nusach, are not b'chlal, says the Marash Dam, in the concept of minug, because whatever shita you hold of minug, if you hold like the pritoar or the prichadash, but it has to be in the rubric of iser v'heter. And then, but if it's not a question of iser v'heter, and when I say iser v'heter, I mean something else. I mean a chumrah in iser v'heter. A chumrah in iser v'heter. Not just iser v'heter. A chumrah in iser v'heter. What does that mean, a chumrah in iser v'heter? I mean, everyone knows, the Gemara says b'feirish, kidney is mutter. It's a chumrah that maybe they'll, so that's called a chumrah in iser v'heter. So a chumrah in iser v'heter, they can have communities that accepted the chumrah or didn't accept the chumrah. But if it's not a question of iser v'heter, it's just, everyone agrees that this is mutter. But, everyone, not a question of iser v'heter. So if it's a question of a chumrah b'iser v'heter, so then you could have this chumrah, and then if you hold like the prichadosh, it's a din in the community, and it could carry on. If you hold like the prichadosh, but it's only a family thing, it won't carry on. But if it's not something, it's just nusach. This is the nusach. So the nusach is not a question of iser v'heter. So that's what the Marasham says. In other words, he quotes that same Gemara of B'nei Baishan. So this is a question of a possibility of violating an iser. Even though maybe it's mutter migardin, but there's a chashash that maybe they're going to not have proper hachana for Shabbos. It's a halacha chashash. The nusach thing is different nuschos, but it's not a halacha chashash. So therefore, he says that there's no din of minhag in such a thing. That's the Marash Dam. I'm not saying everyone agrees to it, but it's a very solid svara. Okay. As opposed to the something that's not a halachic thing. Again, so then you have to take this and then fit it in to the pre-Torah and the pre-Chadosh. In other words, it has to be already a nidnud iser v'heter, and then the pre-Chadosh is only a din in the Kahal, but not a din in a Yachid, but only if it's in this type of thing. Whether it's a nidnud iser v'heter. It's not even a nidnud iser v'heter. Even the pre-chadash would be moida, that even though the Tzibur had this particular thing. That's the Marash Dam. The Beis Yitzchak, from Yitzchak Shmelkis, from Lvov. I remember, and Rabbi Drach could confirm what I'm saying, one year, and I say this in memory of Rabbi Drach's father-in-law, Dr. Lam Moreno Zatzal, who was still in the middle of the Yud Beis Chodesh for him. So I remember one year it was a Ritz dinner, and Dr. Lam wasn't there. A big Kiddush. He wasn't at the Ritz dinner. And they had a video of him. And it was a time when his grandson was being bar mitzvah, and Dr. Lam was proud of his lineage from Lvov. And he says, I'm in Lvov now with my Einikel, and we're having the bar mitzvah here. And I remember him, you know, speaking fondly of the roots from Galicia, etc. And so that's very inspirational. So when I see Lvov on the Sharblad of the Beis Yitzchak, I remember that night in the Ritz dinner when Dr. Lam was not there and he was saying from afar about his roots. So the Beis Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, was one of the Gedolei Hador, and it's quoted, you can look in the Stei Chemed, and he says the following thing. Tefillin on Chol HaMoed, right? Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So he says, so at first glance you want to say, so this is a halacha, whether you do or you don't. But he says no. He thinks that tefillin on Chol HaMoed is not toloi en minug. And someone once told me that Rav Moshe Bikzatzal once said over, again, it wasn't necessarily in the context of a psak. Someone was asking him after the shir, what does the Rav think about, you know, do you follow your Zaydis? He says, really, tefillin Chol HaMoed has nothing to do with the Zaydis and the, because it's a halacha. Well, what do we, I'm not saying how he paskened Lemaisa, so I don't want to, I'm just saying he said it over, it's nothing to do with the Zaydis, and nothing to do, why? Because it's a halacha. So you have to machria what the halacha is. And therefore, one could, the father could have been, followed one psak, and the son could follow a different psak. Because it's not a din in, and again, what we said before, that in the Marash Dam, it's a din in Nidnut Isser. There, we were saying that the idea is that Avada Kitnius is Mutter, and Avada Gebrox is Mutter. We have an extra Zahiris, an extra Zahiris. So you have an extra Zahiris, so... So that's the way, that's when there is room for minug. In other words, when it comes to nusach, that's not an extra zahiris. It's not a halacha per se, and it's not an extra zahiris. So the Marash Dam says it doesn't have minug. And when it's, so it has to be an extra zahiris. So something that is not an extra zahiris, it's just, this we do this or that. It's not necessarily shaykh to minig at all. And then on the other hand, something that is a question of what should the psak halacha be, based on the makoros that we have, is also not necessarily toloi in minhug. Because your father could have learned the sugya one way, and you could learn the sugya that way. Now, this is could be very dangerous. I'm not here to try to tell everybody that, you know, that you shouldn't. It is true that we do follow usually our fathers when it comes to tefillin and Chol HaMoed. But technically speaking, he writes here. Look what he writes. Ma'ase yesh l'stapek irashay l'shanos m'minig avosav sheyanogim l'hanich tefillin. He leis b'hu mishum al titosh. It's not mitzad hadin. So then there's room for minug. If it's a question of nidnud isser. If it's not nidnud isser at all, also not. But he said, if it's not shaykh, it's nothing to do mitzad hadin. Everyone agrees. Mitzad hadin, kitnis is mutter. But I come from an Ashkenazic family. So I follow. But if it's Dafka Dovish Embo Tamitzaradin Rakmishum Chumri Zahirus. Kach the Bnei Baishan. Because that was not me did. Aval Kahach the Tfilm Cholmod Himachlokus Rishoidim. Yeishlo Makor Bahalacha. It's a question of Mitzad Hadin. So it's Mitzad Hadin, then everyone has a right to follow the posek that he paskins like. Even if your father did differently. So that's what he says. Again, these are the technical thing. I don't mean to try to now tell everyone to change, you know, because there is a concept that people do that. So again, but is it technically binding? So the Beis Yitzchak is saying, the Snechem quotes it, that it's not necessarily technically binding. The Tashbetz has a famous tshuva on page 19 and page 20. The Tashbetz has a tshuva where he discusses getting married. Say the woman gets married to the husband, and now she, you know, she was Sfardim, like, you know, my parents, my mother, and Lahavli Mechaim Lechaim, my father, Hareni Kaparis Mishkovo. My father was an Ashkenaz Jew. His father grew up in a town near Brisk. And my mother's family was, live and be well, my mother, from Turkey, from Istanbul, and the Dardanelles. So, you know, we grew up in Rabbi Bernard Berzon's shul. That was our Rav growing up. He always used to say, you know, your parents intermarried. That was, you know, that's the... So what if the Sephardic woman, she used to... happens to be that my mother, they had different minhagim in terms of rice, and they didn't necessarily... But whatever it is, say, like, kidneys. So the simple pshat is, so that's a thing that there's... That as we said before, Me'ikra did its mutter, but it is a nidnud iser. So it says the Tashbetz, when a woman marries into the family, so Pashas is, that's going from mokum to mokum. And hopefully not daito lachzor. Hopefully not daito lachzor. So Mamela follows the minhagim of her husband. What if chas v'sholem the husband passes away? So he makes a sushel between a woman, a bas kohen, that marries a Yisrael, so she can't eat truma. But what if the husband dies? Then minator bas kohen shenisis Yisrael nifsula minatruma nis almana imishla zera nifsula. So it depends if she has children from her husband, then she still doesn't go back to her father's home. Someone once asked me, a woman once asked me, she was married for many, many years, and she took on her husband's minhag not to eat gebraks when she got married, and then the husband passed away. And now she wants to know whether she could eat gebraks. And especially, she has a son-in-law who's a Sephardi who eats gebraks, so that would be very convenient. So I pointed out to her this tshuva of the Tashbetz, and when there's children, so then you're not shava to the original, just like with the Cohen situation. Okay. This is the discussion once I asked this to Rav Abadi, it's in my sefer, about nusach. You know, if somebody would tell you today you have to change your nusach, you know, you wouldn't be a happy camper. You know, especially for the Yom Ha'Narayim. You know, people are used to how they... and so Rav Abadi pointed out, it's in the sefer here, that when it comes to nusach, so as we said before, the Maharash Dam, it's not a question of iser v'heter. It's not a nidnud chumra. So maybe, as Rav Abadi pointed out, maybe it doesn't have any question of her change, her behooving herself to change her nusach. She wants to daven the davening for her. That's what she wants to do. Well, there's no day. We're not going to force her to, as Rav Abadi pointed out, to change the her nusach. She's used to. She's been davening for 25 years already. With her, you know, to make some. I remember this woman called me up. She says, "I don't want to change my. I'm so used to. You know, it's not easy. It's hard enough to get married and change your whole lifestyle. You know, have a good marriage. And I also have to change my nusach atfila. She's so used to it." So that perhaps, again, based on body point down, based on Marshdam, that it's not a question of minhag, because l'gabi these halakas, you understand, of following this minhag, that minhag, because it's not an idnur iser. So b'kisser abosai, we have a discussion here of the machlokas between the pre-chadosh and the pre-tohar, whether minhag is a din only in the minhag ha-makom or the minhag ha-mishpacha. And that was the machlokas, how you deal with those two gemaras. And then we pointed out three different ideas here. That a minhag is, the cases in the gemara of minhag are things that are really mutar mi'ikar adin, but have a reason to be machmir. That's where the minhag sets in, that some people had this minhag and some people didn't have this minhag. But if it's totally nothing to do with of nidnud nisr, totally to do, nothing to do with Nidnud Nisr. There's no halachic, it's just a question of this Nusach, that Nusach, maybe is not totally in following the Minhag. And something, and the opposite, where it's totally halachic. In other words, these things, like Kitnios, is totally mutter. And some people had it, so that's Shaykh to have a question of a minhag or changing a minhag or following the Minhag HaMakom. And then the Beis Yitzchak word is something that's, when you say, "Oh, my minhag is to put on tefillin," what do you mean it's your minhag to put on tefillin? It means that I follow the shita that the halacha is that you have to put on tefillin. It's not a minhag to put on tefillin. If you put on tefillin, then it's a chovah to put on tefillin. And if you hold, you went through this, or whoever, the Vilna Gaon went through whatever it is, then it's not. So that's not totally a minhag. That's totally what's the halacha. So you have something like Nusach HaTfilo that's not totally a Nidnet Isser at all, so it's not shaykh to these halachas, according to the Marshdam. You have something that's totally, totally halachic, like putting on tefillin. It's, you have to learn this, somebody, the Gadol, has to learn the sugya and come out with it. And then, so you have something that's totally halachically mutter, like kitnius, but we have chashash, so that's shaykh to have a minhag. And then you have something like nusach atfila that has no shaykhs to a chashash at all, and that perhaps is not totally in the minhag. And also something that's totally halachic, that might also not be. So again, the maisa, people do follow, you know, father's minhagim. I'm not here to try to, you know, cause havoc and have people now, you know, but in certain situations of a tzorach, one has to know, is the fact that I'm keeping this minhag, is that because, you know, it's just the etiquette of the way the family runs, and not a total halachic constraint. Or my father likes when I come to shul together, we're putting on tefillin together. Well, we're not putting on tefillin together. But, you know, certain things, they look strange. So, am I doing this strange kite, or this, or the woman, she doesn't want to change her whole nusach. Then there's another nekuda, one last nekuda, and that is the contemporary shul. The contemporary shul of today. And we started talking about this, and you can look on the Bir Halacha on page 21, where he discusses the concept of kehila. And perhaps, now, kehila was something that was, you know, in Europe, you had kehilas. Kehilas were, as the Bir Halacha says, the kehilas were, as he writes on page 21 on the bottom, Tehainu beis ha-knesses u'mispalim b'chol yom b'tzibur, there's a shul, there's a morat tzedek, there's a mikvah, there's a shchita. It's a kehila. So kehilas were things in Europe. In America, America was the more a melting pot. You know, you could have a very, usually in the Hasidic communities, they made a structure of a kehila. Like, for example, if I have a Talmud, that's a Chabad Talmud, right? And he wants me to Misada Kedushin at his wedding. And it's taking place on the steps of 770. So I'm not allowed to, because I'm not the Rav of that Kehila. They have certain official Rabbanim. You go to Kiryas Yoel, and you want to be Misada Kedushin, you can't just walk in there and be Misada Kedushin. There's a Kehila there. You know, there's a Kehila there. I mean, Rav Teitz Zatzal, I see Rabbi Blau here, Rav Teitz Zatzal, I don't know exactly what the rules there are, but, he's something similar to that idea. They have their shechita, they have their mikvah, they have their schools. It's a kehila, like Rav Goodman pointed out. So it could be that the idea of following minhagim, in other words, in a shul has minhagim. A shul has minhagim, but not necessarily, as Rav Chaim Kalman Goodman, a certain Talmud Chacham from Williamsburg that I know, and Rav Badi pointed out, that those minhagim are not necessarily minhagim of the technical sense of minhagim. Because the shul is a place where you daven, where you have a rav, but it's not necessarily the kehila, the shuls of America, as these rabbanim have pointed out, are not necessarily the full concept of a kehila, of a minhag hamakom. Now, it could be that the shul needs to have law and order. You know, it can't be a hefkeris. It can't be a hefkeris to have a shul, every day someone's going to get up to the omer and daven different, different nusach. No, but that's for the law and order of the shul. That there has to be, but not necessarily midin minhagim. So in other words, question like Rabbi Drash was asking about before, the idea of Kelodon, how you sing it, how you do you Chododi, do you sing it all together, do you pour, different things, the Mariel was very about changing the Nigunim, but it could be that those things, like Rav Chaim Kalman Goodman said to me, Talmud Chacham from Williamsburg, that those things are not necessarily Midin Minhag. Those are that a shul needs, like any organization, needs to function in an orderly way. And therefore, in certain situations where, and this has to be done with very COVID rosh, and to see, if they feel that it's a betterment of the shul, like some Rabbanim have pointed out, there could be toelis. So there are some Rabbanim that would permit changing different things, because it's not necessarily the idea of a the minhag hamakom of a kehila, because it's a shul, and then the shul is not, and Rav Chaim Kalman Goodman, kehila usually is, as Rav Goodman pointed out, is an overarching thing, not only for davening. In other words, I'm a member of the Satma community, so that means that I do every, that's a whole way of life. It's a whole, I'm a member of, whatever, the Chabad community, I'm a member, but if I'm a member of a shul, so I have to follow, what they're telling in shul, because then, it's not, but not necessarily mitam minhag, and therefore, that would imply that in certain situations where it was done with COVID rosh, and not, again, most important thing is never to have machlokas, in theory, that's, most important thing, if we could have that. So, because we have to have things, run in a way of av, of achva, shalom bereus, but not necessarily we didn't minhag. And if therefore there could be a situation where people are asking for a certain thing, and it's within the halakhic framework, so then in a shul, like Rav Schechter once mentioned to one of my friends who's a Rav, a new Rav in a shul, he said you have to go through everything that the shul does and see, if that's still, proper for this shul. It's very important. Rav Gusman once made a comment about psak halacha, and I think it applies to everything, but it's a very important comment. He said, when somebody asks me a shaila, the first thing I do is I paskin up the person. After I paskin up the person, then I paskin the shaila. Just today, someone came to me with a shaila. And I knew that this person, and there are different shitas on the shayla. I would have normally paskined l'chumra on the shayla, but I knew this person, and this person wouldn't be able to deal with that. And since there are other halachic shitas that are valid, even though that's not my preferred shita, but I knew this person wouldn't be able to. It wouldn't mesh with them. So that's what Rav Gusman said. First, you understand the person. You paskin up the person. After you paskin up the person, then you can paskin the shayla. That doesn't mean everything goes. That means that. And again, when a person is changing something in the shul, it has to be done with very much COVID rosh, and it has to understand all the implications and this. But. You know, and some communities, some rabbanim are very, there's one rava I know that's very, very adamant not to, you know, because he feels that'll be a floodgate for other things, you know. And one rav told me about a certain other rav that he wouldn't tell them not even to institute Yedid Nefesh if they never sang it before, because he's very afraid of, you know. But other rabbanim are not necessarily, and therefore there could be other considerations. But it has to be done with, COVID rosh. It has to be done with understanding the feelings of the people. You know, shuls, that some balabatim have the opinion that, you know, we didn't do this. I've been here for the past 50 years and we never did such a thing. So, okay, so you have to, you know, keep that into when Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal in his shul in the yeshiva, they start davening Shacharis like 9 o'clock on Shabbos morning, which is not the most apertom time if you want to make Kriya Shema B'tzibur, but he knew that the people in the shul that. Old Balabatim, you know, who if he would change that, that would cause a whole fight. So you know what he did, Rav Moshe? You know this? That Rav Moshe Feinstein davened b'yechidus Shabbos morning for the whole, you know, he would come to shul, he would have davened already, it wasn't maybe so obvious. Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, I believe, I used to walk with him. My wife is from the Lower East Side. So I walked to the Young Israel with my wife, and he would go further to MTJ. I think he actually did daven with, but Rav Moshe, he wanted to daven, to get the Kriya Shema Bizman, not to say it beforehand, but to say it, I'll say it Baruchas Bizman. But he would rather not have machlokas in the community. So if it means, therefore, I mean, he could have said, I'm Rav Moshe Feinstein, of course you have to figure, no! He didn't say that. He said, if this is going to cause the shalom in the shul, I'll daven b'yechidus every Shabbos morning. And that's what he did. Al daven b'yechidus every Shabbos morning. So again, minhagim and mitzvah and psak halacha require a lot of the fifth shulchan aruch of seichel hayashar, and of course the first four are a given as well, obviously. And these are some. And then in the end of this packet, I have something. I wrote a sefer on Minhagim some years ago, and I put some excerpts from the sefer from page 23 and onward on that, and you could look at this as well. So there were some questions I saw mentioned over on the screen, which I didn't get a chance to read properly. If you want to, I mean, Rabbi Drach, whatever you tell me, I'll do. Or not do, whatever you say.
I only appreciate your time. If you have the time and you would like to address them.
Okay, so maybe if we put on some of the.
People need to move to sign out, it'll be available in the recording.
Yeah, and anyone, the best way to always call me is, you know, I'm old fashioned, so I pick up the phone. You know, I'm an old fashioned Jew. I pick up the phone, and that's how I usually communicate. I'm not from the. Big computer people and things like that, but my wife will forward me anything. But if you want to, any time I can be of help to anybody with anything I can be of help, I'm always available on my phone whenever I could.
Number, would that be possible?
Yeah, remember Adam Dubin is saying something. A note to the story of Sari saying about Rav Moshe. Do you want to say it? You want to unmute and say it?
Thank you very much. Just a quick note on that Rav Tendler had mentioned that Rav Moshe was diabetic, and so he was makpid to not eat before davening, so he davened early to make sure that he wasn't going to end up to eat before davening. That was the only horror I was going to add.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Polsky asks on the chat, Rav Schachter is fond of quoting a Dogma Mervava that Minhagim can be relaxed in cases of Shas and Chag.
Yeah, in other words, the Dogma Mervava is of the opinion that we have a concept of a minhag mitam neder, so that's only, he writes, if you say you had a certain minhag, right, and you want to, this is the, and you want to stop the minhag temporarily, but you're planning to go back. It's just not, now you're not able to keep it. So therefore, the Dogel Mervava says you don't need hataras nedarim. But if you're doing a minhag, a chumrah, that now you can't keep anymore. Whatever your situation is, you won't be able to keep it anymore. So you need hataras nedarim. That's what the Dogel Mervava says. But if it's only a temporary thing that you're not following your minhag, this minhag tov, so then, and then as soon as that temporary thing goes away, you're going to go back to it. Then, so it's bakrei balma. Then you don't need to be matir neder. That's the Noda Behuda and Dogel Mervava in Yerodeya in the Simon by Nedarim mitam minhag mitam neder.
Maury Schwartz made a comment.
Yeah, Maury Schwartz said something about Yom Tov Sheni. He wanted to know. Yes. What was that?
Can you comment on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios for a Ben Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov today and vice versa?
Okay, yeah. So Ben Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael is Daito. Means he's planning to come back after Yom Tov. So this is an old Shaila, and in fact there's a. One of the early tshuvas about this shaila was written by Rav Yosef Karo himself. You know, Rav Yosef Karo has tshuvas. Besides the Shulchan Aruch, he has tshuvas. And he's of the believer that if you plan to come back, so then you have to keep the minhag of Chutz La'aretz, because you're planning to come back. That was the opinion. And he permits, he says you have to keep 2 days, you could have a Yantav Sheni minyan, etc. The Chacham Tzvi, he was the one, that came with this shita, that the concept of following the makom that you're coming back to doesn't apply to Yom Tov Sheni. Why not? Because he says that the concept of a minhag makom is when that minhag could be in any place. Say you have a minhag chveis where you get a machmir and gebrox, or not machmir and gebrox. Right, so that could be that minhag could be in Eretz Yisrael, it could be in Turkey, it could be anywhere. So then, if we say that if you're planning to come back to them or you're planning to stay, that could be flexible. But the minhag of Yom Tov Sheni, even if you're planning to come back, since Yom Tov Sheni is not shaykh in Eretz Yisrael. So then, so therefore, even if you're planning to come back, you keep only 1 day. Because that's not a fluid minhag. Because it doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael. Interesting enough, his son, Rav Yaakov Emden, argued with him. And he says, it's not true. Because the Rambam writes, the Rambam Shita is, that Yom Tov Sheni is not a din. The Ritva says Yom Tov Sheni is only a din in Eretz in Chutz La'aretz, not a din in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam says no. The Rambam says it all depends upon a place where the shluchim got to. So even if you're in Eretz Yisrael and there was no yishuv there, was no shluchim there, so at the time of the bayis, so then you could keep Yom Tov Sheni even in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Chacham Tzvi Svara maybe only works with the Ritva that that the chiluk between Eretz Yisrael, no Yantiv Sheni, Chutz La'aretz is Yantiv Sheni, but the Rambam says not that way. So he says, who says we should follow the Ritva? Maybe we should follow the Rambam, and therefore you should have to keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael as well. So in the recent past, people are very into this Chacham Tzvi, and they have to. This is a halachic shaila. We talked about, you know, some things like tefillin and chol hamoed is a halachic shaila. So it's not necessarily tolay on the minhag. So you have to ask your rav how you should, because this is a halachic shaila. It's not a question: is it my minhag? Is it not my minhag? This is a halachic shaila. Somehow people, obviously, you know, people are, you know, they find it difficult to keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael, so it became this Chacham Tzvi became very very popular. Whether that's proper or not is a shaila. I always tell people, you know, the Chacham Tzvi is of the opinion that you can't use a heated mikvah on Friday night. So if you're ready to keep that Chacham Tzvi, then you can keep this Chacham Tzvi as well. But if not, you should, you know, I'm not saying that there's no room to keep, but, you know, it's something that you shouldn't just flippantly say, oh, I follow, you know, they even made t-shirts, you know, we follow Chacham Tzvi t-shirts that we want to keep the Chacham Tzvi because, you know, what can I tell you? But it should be with COVID Rosh also, if you want to keep that shita of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was a, you know, a bar samcha, no question about it. But, you know.
Very good. Well, thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you. I hope I fulfilled the mission. And it's always good to see people that I've known now for many years, people, some new faces, old faces. So if I can be of help to anybody at any time, you know, peace, feel free.
Thank you so
and,
much.
And you should all be well. You should all, you and your kehilas should do well. You should mechazek everyone in these, difficult times. And hopefully the difficulties should wane and we should have a lot of good times together. Because Yiddishkeit is about, not about social distance. Yiddishkeit is about people being together. And if we're not at that point yet, we haven't yet gotten to the place where we should get. So Be'ez Hashem, hopefully it should come sooner than later, with good health. Kol
tov. Thank you very much.
Mark, thank you for organizing this. It's good to be in Yerushalayim and yet be able to be with everybody in New York.
Glad to have you here at 11.
Sure.